We're live on Flip the Cash. I'm your host, Nate List. You can find me on Twitter at An Outraged Jew. And with me is Mr. Ethan Motz. You can find him on Twitter at Ethan Motz. That's M-O-T-Z. We're broadcasting to a wider audience today. I have exhumed the corpse of this network. I don't know why I forgot about you. I don't know why I left you here alone. I know you've been waiting, constantly refreshing your feed for something new. Because the last episode that dropped on this network was Clear the Cash, and I looked, it was in February of this year. So Ethan is a voice that some of you may have heard, many of you may have not, because this is a very different audience. So Ethan, what's happening, man?
Nate, what's going on? Just happy to be on here chatting cards, football as well. I'm glad to get this out to this audience. I know you've unfortunately paid as much attention as you have to your quarterback situation in one of our dynasty leagues. Andy Dalton, great starter. He's going to put up big points this weekend. So I'm great, Nate. How are you?
Well, now that the cat's out of the bag, yes, in one dynasty league, my team is bad. I'm 1-17. My roster has some good pieces on it. A lot of shit. A lot of barnacles on the underside of the boat that need to be scraped off, and I'll get to them at some point. But I have left Andy Dalton as a warning flare in my starting lineup, and I'm letting everybody in the league know that I'm not adding any other quarterbacks. I'm not just going to throw a spot starter in there because I'm not going to give up draft capital. Now, you have a player in Lamar Jackson that I would be interested in talking about probably at another time, not on this episode, but I've got Andy Dalton as my starter, and yes, he hasn't started in about 7 weeks, but I'm leaving him in there as a sign of disrespect to this league because I want you to know I'm not going to bend the fucking knee to go trade a first-round pick for Taylor Heineke or Jacoby Brissett or one of these patch jobs.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Darnold, a fucking bridge-to-nowhere quarterback. I will not do it. Thank you for bringing it up. Now, as you mentioned, this is a card show, okay? Clear the Cash is a card show. Clear the Cash is not gone, for those of you that listened to that show or heard it on this network. This is called Flip the Cash. I know, very creative name. What we do on here, though, is a faster-paced, more actionable, week-to-week type show, and Ethan is a curator of much of the content, and this week, this is a bit of a one-off type episode because we're not doing our typical buy-sell stuff. This week, we're doing the panic meter.
That's right. This week, we're going to go through a couple different names. And on the topic of quarterbacks, just like Andy Dalton, these ones are actually playing. And they're playing pretty well. Some are playing not so well. And we're really going to dig into what their cards are doing within the marketplace and see if we can identify any efficiencies, inefficiencies, and kind of understand the context around the panic meter ratings that we have for these guys. So first guy here that I was going to bring up, is Josh Allen. I know Scott Hansen had an absolute field day on Red Zone this last weekend talking about how Josh Allen sacked, picked, whatever else, tackled Josh Allen, and it was the first time in history. So aside from that, Josh Allen played pretty poorly in this game. But up until then, the Bills had been rolling. He'd been putting up huge monster fantasy performances, real performances and on the field. So his prices were reflective of that. But even this last, you know, outing here was rough, but I'm going to consider it a blip on the radar. So for my rating with Josh Allen's panic meter, I'm putting it a 1 out of 10. Football's a small sample size sport. There are 16 games, 17 now this season moving forward, and it's just one game, right? This continues, then maybe it'll bump it up, but I think this team is going to figure out its identity. It'll be fine, and so will Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was a monster last year. You look at his TD rate this year versus last year, it's nearly identical. Interception rate is actually lower than the year prior. Multi-touchdown games in all but his first game, and as you mentioned, his last game. Super young quarterback and a player that a lot of people really didn't love or were indifferent about, but once we saw the viability of his fantasy upside as rookie year QB14, then QB11, then the QB1 last year, sitting at the QB3 this year, I totally agree. He's matchup proof in a lot of senses, especially in this Buffalo Bills offense, which has been electric. If they could ever solidify, I mean, if he had Derrick Henry in this backfield, oh my God. If you even had to think for a moment about what was actually trickling out of the backfield, then it would be an even more difficult prospect to stop Josh Allen. But yeah, for you, your panic meter you said was what?
A 1 out of 10. I'm not panicking. And
that's fair. I wouldn't panic either. Josh Allen's still a top 5 dynasty quarterback, and my panic meter would be very, very low as well.
Yeah, and I mean, if we look at his prices too, I think maybe there's a bit of overreaction here. We can look at, and these cards, or these prices are coming from Card Ladder's database here, but if we look at his couple of his key cards, right, his Prism Base rookie PSA 10 in the last week, right, that's down 22%. Same for the Optic Base rookie PSA 10, down 14, almost 15%. And then Select, the Premier Level PSA 10, that's down almost 42%. So it's a huge drop for one bad performance. Obviously, there are peaks and valleys within values of a player's cards, right? But I think this is a bit of a hefty overreaction that's gone a little too far. So I think it's going to course correct after this week and things will get back to normal.
I mean, imagine Josh Allen. He comes off the 5 weeks prior, 37 fantasy points, 21, 36, 29, 29. Then one bad game. One bad game. Recency bias is a motherfucker.
Brutal.
Just sticking it to him. My goodness. People were just, it was the Boston Tea Party. They're just throwing shit off the boat. They're like, we can't have all these Josh Allen cards.
Enough.
Total overreaction. Okay, I agree on Josh Allen. Low meter. Who's the next person?
Our next guy, another surprise stinker performance this last weekend, and against a team that many thought would get carved up. And this player is Dak Prescott. Bit of an uncharacteristic Jekyll Hyde type of performance from the Cowboys this last weekend. And you know, the only receiving touchdowns coming from was Malik Taylor, I think, not Malik Willis. You know, in garbage time, and their starters are out. They're down 30-0. But I'm not too panicked on Dak. If I had to put a number on this out of 10, I'd probably put it a 3 out of 10. Obviously, I think there's still some perhaps PTSD from the ankle from last year, right? He's not rushing as much. He's hardly rushing this year at all. If you look at his numbers, it's, you know, he's probably at 10%, 15% of his career rushing numbers. So I'm a little concerned about that ankle maybe being a hindrance, but overall it's probably a 3 out of 10. I'm not too panicked on Dak. Where are you at with him?
I mean, you can't be panicked on Dak. I mean, you could argue that this has been the best situation he's had around him in his whole career. The offensive line looks good. The defense looks good. He was incredibly efficient. You know, the run game has been good. He has all these weapons. He's going to get Gallup back here eventually, who's been IR'd for quite some time, who they didn't trade at the trade deadline. So that's going to add some weapons. But again, when we're talking about cards, when we're talking about dynasty, we're looking at a long-term outcome, depending on if you're playing a flip. But a quarterback at 28, I mean, he's in his prime. I mean, he entered his prime already. He's in his prime. It's much longer at the quarterback position than elsewhere. I'm with you. For me, Dax, just maybe a tick higher than Josh Allen, not much more, just because similar age, Dallas very clearly has all the weapons. Even when Gallup leaves this year because he's a free agent at the end of 2022, still going to have CeeDee, still going to have Cooper, still going to have Schultz, still going to have Zeke, still going to have Pollard. Work on this offensive line. It's a desirable location. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic offense, and the reason I bring up Dak and even Josh Allen, and I want to look at some of these numbers here, is that these are the types of opportunities in these weeks where there's a dud performance from a star that's perennially been incredible. If we look at these numbers are coming from Card Ladder, but if we look at some of these key rookie cards, so 2017 Prism Base rookie PSA 10, in the last week it's down about 1.5%, not too crazy, but the raw rookie card, you know, base Prism from 2017, down almost 28%. And the Optic base rookie PSA 10, down almost 26%. So, I mean, these are monumental drops, right? Especially for that base rookie PSA 10 from Optic and the rookie Prism Raw, right? So these are the kinds of, I guess, smaller transactions or even opportunities within the week that if you see this kind of dip, but you believe in a player's value longer term, and I do in this case with Dak, I would certainly try to buy this even small dip here and maximize the returns I'm getting on any kinds of transactions I'm making on these cards.
Do you think Dak Prescott would be more popular with a tinted visor?
100%. That contributes to the swag factor exponentially, even to irrational level sometimes.
He has no swag. I mean, he has no swag.
None. And he's kind of a goofy guy, which I appreciate. But could you imagine if he just got a little swaggier, you know, and exhibited it? Because I think he probably is a swaggy guy, right? Like, he looks the part, maybe, but, you know, put it on the football field, get a little crazy out there. I'd love to see that personality. And I think a lot of that, too, I know we've talked about this before, where, you know, personality is a huge contributor to card value, card prices for certain players because it's their characteristic, their persona, right? Like, that's fun. People like that kind of stuff. So I wish he'd get a little wilder out there, get that dark visor. It'd be awesome.
I think the dark visor is the big change that's necessary. I mean, the fact that he's playing in Texas, plays for the Dallas Cowboys, they're America's team, maybe, I don't know anymore, but very popular globally, I think that's helping Dak. If he was in Carolina, I don't think it would be the same vibe. I mean, even if production was identical, he wouldn't give that little boost, and he's getting a little boost because he plays in Dallas, but man, Dak is like Tim Duncan to me, dude. He brings me down with that just very calm. I mean, he's who you want. He's a great leader, right? He's a great leader. He's consistent.
Yeah.
But let's get that tinted visor, Dak. Damn it. All right.
Do you do Photoshop?
Yeah, I can Photoshop a tinted visor.
Dude, just send it to him on Instagram. DM him. No contacts, no message. Just send it to him, and he'll know exactly what to do. It'll hit him right then and there.
The Kyler one and the Lamar one, and go, these guys look fucking cool. Would you just do this once? You'll sell more jerseys. You will be more sought after. Your cards will go up in price. We know this is a factor.
Tell him that he could even do it for charity. And he's really big on that, and I know. I think that could be actually a great avenue. Speaking on that topic, but yeah, I think that'd be a cool idea. Go ahead. You've got Photoshop skills. I don't, so I'm going to leave you to that.
I'll send it to him. All right. Who's the next person on this list?
Next guy we have on this list, you did mention his visor earlier. It's actually Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray's on this list, and he's a little unique from the other guys. So Kyler's obviously just so much of a unicorn in so many ways, right? He's not your prototypical quarterback. He's not 6'6". He's not a big, you know, cannon of an arm guy, but he's extremely fantastic in so many ways, right? He brings the rushing element. He's very precise with his passing. Great deep ball completion percentage, he's been working with career-wise. But Kyler's a little different, I think, because as a mobile quarterback, you're apt to probably get hit more. You're probably going to run more, which is not conducive to being injury-free or getting nicked up and things like that. With Kyler, I'm a little bit more worried than the other two guys. I'd probably put his panic meter rating at a 5 out of 10. We've seen what's happened with Kyler over the years, where injury comes in play and he's no longer the same Kyler, right? We saw this last year. He got banged up, I believe it was in the Seattle game, shoulder got messed up, and at that point, from then on, his season really kind of took a turn production-wise, and he didn't have that same pizzazz, didn't run as much, obviously kind of nursing that shoulder. So I think the same thing here with the ankle injury, that's going to sap some of his explosiveness, his ability to cut. And he's such a shifty guy, right? He's not a big guy. He's 5'9", 5'10". So he relies on that athleticism a lot. So I'm a little more worried with Kyler here, and especially with probably the cost it took to acquire his cards up until this point, when he was playing lights out an MVP level in the first couple of games.
There was a lot of love for Kyler cards when he hit this fever pitch moment. And we saw it last year. He had three monster games in a row. Same thing happened. But Kyler has been sensational this year. This is a guy that's number one in deep ball completion, top 10 in pressure completion, top two in clean pocket completion, top three in catchable passes, number three in adjusted air yards, number four in accuracy rating, number six in best ball points added, fantasy points per drop back, top five. There's nothing he can't do, right? And this is the best defense that he's ever had. He legitimately, despite the fact that the injury is going to hamper him a bit, this is his best chance to win a Super Bowl right now. He's playing well, or was playing well, has an amazing defense, lots of weapons around him. There's some injuries now with Edmonds and some of the wide receiver group, but I agree, I would have a little more panic on Kyler than the other two names, just because one, like you said, entry point was way more for people. Unless you were buying lower-end Kyler cards, the entry point was already really high because expectation coming into the year was very, very high for Kyler. And at that point that the season took off in the first couple weeks, Kyler 1,000% lived up to the hype. You know, at least his first couple games, their first two games really took off. I had Kyler cards that sold for quite a bit more than I had paid for him, which was great. But like you're saying, I was concerned about that risk. He's mobile. He's at times flashy, trying to, you know, shake defenders where, like, guys like Russell Wilson, guys like Dak, guys like Deshaun, they're more get the gain that I need, get out of bounds, don't take the big hit. Kyler, at times Lamar, other players try to gain a little more, know that they're a bit shiftier than the other guys that I named, and sometimes that can be to their own detriment.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing we have to look at here too is, like you mentioned, right, his cards already spiked tremendously in price, and even this week alone, right, his cards, just from an overall market perspective, again, pulling from Card Ladder here and the cards they have in their database, that weekly change for his cards has gone up almost 30%, and he hasn't even played this last week, right? You know, again, over the month, it's a 61% increase in those card prices. A lot of these are, you know, obviously the more popular cards that are factored into this, I guess, report or database that's, you know, pulling these numbers. But even then, you know, as these prices continue to climb, you know, a lot of this is baked into, like you said, he's got the best defense he's ever had. They're lights out, you know, strong Super Bowl contenders. But, you know, if things don't hit right, you know, they could see a big tumble, and it's really costly to acquire here. You're buying pretty much at the peak. So that's why I'm a little more worried relative to the other guys.
It makes sense. This is one of the big issues. If you're trying to make money in the card game, buying at the ceiling is always the worst thing you can do, especially now when cards are so elevated in price as it is. It's a really bad entry point. Now, if it's a very high-end card and you can afford it and you believe that this card can continue to grow, then there's probably a much more significant ceiling. We know that there's Kyler cards out there now that are probably a little overpriced, but the ceiling on them, if he lives up to the hype, can go a lot further. But for many people, they're not in that price range. Which leads me to another quarterback that most people were priced out of from the very beginning, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and this is a weird name to be saying in the year 2021, right? How worried are you about Patrick Mahomes and even bringing up that conversation? If you would have said something like this years ago, people would have given you a look like, you know, what are you on, my guy? Like, have you been alive for the last few years? Have you opened your eyes? Do you watch any kind of television? Do you know anything? So it's kind of weird to be bringing up Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, let's be honest, that team has struggled recently, and it really kind of, it's this last month that's been lethargic in terms of their offense. That whole team looks flat. Mahomes, who's done so well, you know, playing out of structure, has looked lost doing that, right? That was his bread and butter, the ability to extend plays, make circus throws with the line breaking, you know, down and the pocket collapsing. It's, you know, so it's different. And obviously, there's some worry, but you have, again, a large sample size of elite production from Mahomes. So, I mean, relative to these other guys, I'm a little more concerned given how stark of a contrast it's been for Mahomes in these last few weeks. So my panic meter, I'd probably put it at a 4 out of 10 just because, you know, Kelsey's getting a little older. Tyreek Hill's been a little dinged up. So supporting cast isn't as, you know, explosive and young as they once were. So there's a little bit of concern and hesitation there. But overall, I do think, again, it's in the larger sample size that we look at, Mahomes will revert back to what we've traditionally seen from him.
I mean, if you've ever wanted to get into Patrick Mahomes, we are approaching this moment in time where you're just shaking your head like, this isn't the same guy that I'm seeing right now. And there's no real injury per se that's well documented to support this. But like you said, some of the pieces around him are aging. Clyde Edwards, a player that they drafted in the first round that they thought was going to be this exceptional dynamic weapon. Well, one, they never used him like we had thought they were going to. And two, he really hasn't been as good as build at times, at least consistently. And now we're seeing Mahomes with, you know, multi-interception games. We're seeing Mahomes with completion percentages dipping out of 60%. We're seeing Mahomes struggle to connect with other players. We're not seeing the same confident Mahomes towards the end of games. This will correct itself. Mahomes will end up one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. I believe it. His history prior to this is evidence of that. But just like what we saw with a guy like Josh Allen, one game eroded confidence. Patrick Mahomes with that Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes with, you know, this history of production, he's getting a lot more of a leash in this sense where people are like, eh, he'll course correct. He'll course correct. With a guy like Josh Allen, they're like, fuck, he's going to revert back to his old self. But, you know, we see it with Mahomes, and I'm with you. The concern here should be a little elevated only because what I think is going to happen is whether he course corrects or not this year, I'm concerned about what's the long-term weapons around him going to look like, right? Like, yep. Brady was able to make very average or not great receivers great, or, you know, make it work with them. Then you see him go to a team that's got a ton of weapons at age 44 like Tampa Bay, and he's just destroying everything. Mahomes has had Kelce. He's had Tyreek Hill, the most dynamic, you know, wide receiver in the league potentially, or hard to stop. Kelce gets older. If Tyreek is banged up, what do you have? And I think it's starting to sort of show that he needs some weapons around him, and that might be my concern.
I agree. And, you know, it's kind of like early 2010s with Aaron Rodgers. There were a couple years in his career there where, you know, if he would have played more within structure and kind of taken what the defense has given, you know, had given him, and kind of similar scenario to what Mahomes is experiencing right now, I think he could have been a lot more successful and avoided kind of that slump. So same thing here, right? You know, again, you talked about the dynamism of Tyreek Hill. Kelce, you know, he came out on the Manning cast a few days ago and said he just freelances his routes, right? So, you know, if he's losing some of that explosiveness as he ages, that's going to affect his ability to get open and create that separation. So again, like you mentioned, if Mahomes doesn't have those incredible pieces, you know, it's tricky for him. And it shows, again, like you said, in the card prices too. You know, we can look at his, I guess, market change, right, again, from card ladder. It's roughly a 10% decrease in his prices overall. But the crazy thing about Mahomes cards, again, this factors in a wide variety of cards. There are about 250 pulling in here. But if you start to look at more, I guess, high-end cards or more unique short-printed cards, inserts, whatever the case might be, those card prices for Mahomes have dipped drastically. For example, I've been looking at a few myself. And I'm a big fan of the Color Blast, the Stained Glass, obviously those, you know, pretty popular inserts. I think they're cool cards. But looking some of those from him about a month ago, you know, you could see any of those PSA 10 white Color Blasts going for about $9,000, right? One recently sold for under $6,000 about a week ago. So it's a huge drop, right? 40 some odd percent. I mean, that's not this 10% here in his overall market. These are huge drops, and especially for high-end cards like this. So I think, you know, if you believe in Mahomes longer term and you don't really worry about the, you know, pieces around him as much, you know, this is a great time, I think, to get in on some of those higher-end cards, you know, with this drastic dip in prices.
He's still got 20 touchdowns. I mean, he's still on pace for borderline 40 touchdowns this year. I realize we've added a game to the season, but, the, you know, 2,500 yards, if this was a regular season, he's probably on pace for pushing close to 5,000 yards, maybe, and close to 40 touchdowns. So we've got to pump the brakes a little bit, but in terms of cards, this is what you're trying to exploit. If you're looking to get into a guy like this and his prices are dipping, this is going to be your opportunity, because of these names that we've talked about, I am personally the most confident in Patrick Mahomes over all. I love Dak, love Kyler, really like Josh Allen, but Patrick Mahomes is very clearly the most talented, the most capable of all these guys. He's already got one Super Bowl on his record. So, and let's not forget, let's not let Kansas City off the hook here. Mecole Hardman didn't work. Clyde Edwards has been good, not great. And they're trying to put weapons around him, but they're not nailing it. They try to bring in Josh Gordon. It's a bit of a failed experiment to a sense. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. Michael Gallup, Allen Robinson. I think we could see one of these names drop there. And suddenly, I think you might see a little bit of a difference when we put some more talent around him. So don't panic. Good opportunity to buy if the prices have dipped, like Ethan just mentioned. All right, Ethan, that's it. That's the end of the show sheet. That's what we've got for the people. So, again, I appreciate everybody that's going to tune back in after freezing you guys out for 8 months. If this is your first time hearing Ethan, obviously this is a very astute, sharp individual. Guy's really about the numbers, so follow him on Twitter if you have not, at Ethan Motz. Chat him up. He can help guide you to some fantastic cards. He's a very smart dude. Ethan, thank you again for coming on.
Nate, I appreciate you, man. It's always fun.
Absolutely, man. So we will be back next week on Flip the Cash. I'm sure I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but it'll be absolutely fantastic for the card fans. So we'll see you guys next week.